Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Rooted Deep, a podcast featuring Reba Bowman and Allison Hale.
Everybody, this is Allison Hale with the Rooted Deep podcast, and normally I am with my friend Reba Bowman, but today she is traveling. But in the meantime, we thought we would have just a wonderful conversation with a friend of ours, and I'm just really excited to be talking about this because, as you know, we've been just working through the book, Experiencing God, and if anybody remembers this book, maybe the first time you studied it in college or in a Bible study somewhere, this is just a really good book. And so I feel like we're almost smack dab in the middle of the book. And we're talking about when God takes initiative to involve his people in his activities. Remember, we said that a lot of people focus so much on finding God's will for their life instead of focusing on doing God's will, period. And so today we're talking, I'm just having a wonderful conversation with a very dear friend of mine who's a missionary here on the island, and we don't get together as often as we'd like. Sometimes I get to take some people over to her ministry. Sometimes she gets to bring some people over to our ministry over here in San Pedro. But Joey Cuevas has become a really good friend of ours, of Mercy's, and she serves with a ministry called Holtz House and Zoe Ministry. And it's just a wonderful preventative ministry that just serves children and teenagers in the area of Boca Chica. And if any of you have driven through or come down on a missions trip with us, we drive as fast as we can through Boca Chica. We don't really pause very, very much. We don't stop for a burger at the Burger King. We don't generally go to the grocery store. It's just not the funnest. I feel like it's just a dark place that we have visited, and thankfully Joey and her family are bringing a lot of light to that area. So Joey, welcome to Rooted Deep, and we're just going to jump in. I'm so glad to have you here. And if once you hear it, don't let her last name fool you. I know it's Cuevas, but she's as Southern as corn cakes because she's from right in our area of Tennessee. And so Joey, it's just so nice to have you with us today. And I just wanted to jump in and get started to tell us a little bit about yourself and where you guys are serving.
Yeah, Ali, thank you so much. You know, I could say all the little corny things, like it's an honor to be here, and, but it really is such a great blessing to share this sacred space with you, not on the podcast, but this island. And I truly do feel blessed to get to share this space of the island with you and the work that we do. And I truly do feel like it's unique in the fact that this is the podcast that we're getting to talk through, in the fact that God has allowed me to experience him in coming alongside of you as a big sister in the faith and in this work. And so I am from the very small town of Livingston, Tennessee. So unfortunately, I do need to say the Vols at some point in my ministry journey, there was a need for me to say Roll Tide. So I can put that out there too. But so I'm excited to be here and have this conversation with you today. So yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. And so go ahead and give us a little bit of your background and testimony, and where you began serving and where you began seeing and stepping into the work that God was already doing, as well as just tell us a little bit about your family.
Sure. So I began very early on being there in Livingston, Tennessee. We're about an hour and a half from Nashville and Knoxville both. And so Pat Summit basketball was very early on a part of my life. And so at eight, I made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And if you ever found or came across any of my journals, my prayer and my belief very much so was that God was going to use basketball, and that would be where I became a basketball WNBA star, although I was very slow and could not jump very high. And that would be the platform that he used to let me travel the world. And I was going to share Jesus with all the people I met, and travel. And as I traveled in sharing Jesus, I would be able to make disciples. And so around the age of 12 or 13, as I was blessed in the fact that my parents were both believers, being part of a local body of Christ there in my hometown, an evangelist and missionary came to our church. And that was my first introduction to missions. And through that, the Lord gave me the idea, the dream of a place called Zoe. And it would be a place where girls could learn about Christ, that they would feel safe, they would receive a nutritious meal, they could play sports. And so I held on to that. And unfortunately, through the game of basketball, it was also where, unbeknownst to my parents, through around the age of 13 at that same time, a local basketball coach, through what we now know to be the word grooming, I was groomed and then raped on a continuous basis over the process of about 2 years by my basketball coach, who was also a math teacher and a pastor there in a church in our hometown, not my own pastor. I want to be clear in that. And so that began, you know, what unbeknownst to everyone, no fault to my parents, no fault to any adult in my life, you know, what they thought was very normal at that time, teenage behavior, you know, a personality that was at one time very outgoing and loud, you know, I became very withdrawn. And, you know, it was, oh, she's going through these changes and all these hormones are showing up and developing. And so in that, you know, I continued playing basketball. And although I, like I said, I wasn't very fast and couldn't jump very high, I did, you know, received some awards and things, but stayed very involved in my local youth group. And we continued as a family to be very involved there in the local church. And so I always maintained that personal relationship with the Lord. And I'm very grateful for that. You know, I do think that those roots helped me always know that although this awful thing happened to me, it was never part of God's plan, never his intent for something, you know, to happen. However, as I went on to finish high school, and then got involved at, a campus ministry there in college, was able to, through a word of knowledge there, at the local college campus, involved in a ministry called Chi Alpha, given to my college campus pastor. He basically asked me, you know, Joey, what is it that you feel like you can't tell anyone? 'Cause nobody will believe you. And so I was able to bring that darkness to the light for the first time. And so through that process, a legal process began. At that time, I know the laws have changed in the state of Tennessee now, and I'm very grateful for that. I do feel like there's been some headway in that, and I'm grateful for that. We brought that to light. However, the statute of limitations had run, unfortunately. And so, you know, the case was vaulted. And so there's not much that we could do in the fact that he countersued basically, and so for defamation of character. And I chose you know, not to sue in a countersuit to him. I just felt like suing him and damaging his wife at the time, and you know, he had a son and daughter. I felt like the, you know, taking money didn't bring healing. And didn't, you know, truth ultimately was what I desired and wanted. And so his money would never give me freedom or healing. So we didn't choose that route. And so in all of that, I finished college and began what was an internship with Chi Alpha Campus Ministry, became a campus pastor, doing campus ministry for about 12 to 13 years. And it's through that and the involvement still there at the local church, wherever I found myself during that work, that we began to bring teams to the Dominican Republic. And through that, there in the capital, helped come alongside of a missionary who was already on the ground and working to pioneer a campus ministry there in the capital in Santo Domingo and involved in the local church. And so just really coming alongside of and being a part of what God was already doing, got involved in that. Then she and her family were getting ready to transition as we brought that team of students from the University of Memphis for this summer. So a short-term trip alongside of her to work with her. Really, the Lord was probably asking me to come and give a year before we ever came. And that was true. It ended up being true. So we did that. And then once I got here, the Lord really began to speak to me about staying longer. And so fast forward a whole lot. And once I got here, you know, the Lord began to speak to me about staying longer. And so now here we are.
Yeah. He does that, doesn't he? He just kind of gets something about this island. And I think a lot of people who listen to our podcast have had the opportunity to travel here. Something about this island gets under your skin. It really, it's like once you step foot on this island, and I think it's a combination of the people, the atmosphere, just the movement and the, but there's something about just being here. So many of our interns came for a missions trip and then they came for a year, you know, an internship 6 weeks, and then they came for a year and then they couldn't, you know, and now they're here full time. That's happened so many times. But I think it's interesting that you pointed out there was something that like there was a ministry that God had kind of birthed into your heart, you know, really based on, you know, just understanding what some keys are to ministering to people, whether it's sports or whether if it's art or something else. I think there's always ways that we can use what he gives us, what he puts in our hands, right, to step in. But then also, you mentioned just serving alongside of what was already happening here. That's really exciting, because I think you said earlier, a lot of people, you said it's something about, you know, just when we were talking before the podcast, you said that people just sometimes sit and they wait for this big vision that God's going to give them instead of, you know, and just springboard off of what we talked about, you know, just being able to serve him continually day to day.
Sure. Yeah. So Allie, I think there's a beauty in social media. I think there's a beauty in technology. And so please don't hear what I'm not saying. It's not all bad. You know, I think there's a beauty in direct messaging. You know, it's not all jeepers creepers, right? However, you know, when we look at the word obedience, I think we're so great at seeing, you know, die, like we have to die to self. But there's also, before that, there's a be. And sometimes there's a being in, like, we're so quick to be like, God, I want to do the thing like that nobody else has done. I'm waiting for the platform. Like, give me the platform. I want to do the thing that nobody's done so I can have the million followers and I can get the likes. And if that becomes the thing, then I'll get the investor and then I'll grow so big. When in reality, it's like, I just so happen to believe that could it be that if we're just faithful to be a part of, God, I want to experience you and what it is that you're already doing and where it is that I'm already going,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, yes, the Great Commission is important. That's why it's great. That's why it's grand. But the primary action verb there is not go. And I just so happen to believe we don't really have a problem with people going. People are so quick to be like, I want to go.
Yeah.
But the problem is not in the going, it's in the making disciples. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from the reality of it's a rushing. We're so great in the doing, but we lack in the being. So it's like we rush people from Friday to Sunday because we don't want to sit in the stink of the tomb of Saturday. And I say all that to say, if we join in experiencing God, you know, I'm faithful in my personal relationship with him, but I'm also faithful to be a part of the local church, and I'm faithful in as I go to, you know, my corporate job, I go to the place that I go every day, and I'm faithful to say, God, how is it that you long for me to experience you in where I'm going today? How can I make disciples in this place? How can I hold the story of the person that works beside me as they journey, you know, the cancer diagnosis of their spouse or of their mother? Even in that, there's ministry to be done. Yes. There's an experiencing of God that can happen. And I truly feel like that if we miss those moments, then, you know, it's a Luke, in a sense, that's where ministry really happens. That's where life is lived. That's the Luke 16:10-12. That's the, can he trust us with the little? So eventually he can trust us with a large. That's the, he can trust us with somebody else's. So eventually he can trust us with that, which is our own. And so before we become these people who are like, God, we want the platform, we want the ministry, we want the thing, like, let's experience him and what he's already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that eventually we can know him.
Yeah.
And do I believe that, you know, that there are those he will specifically speak to go somewhere, to pioneer? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the majority of us are going to be asked to be a part of what he's already doing right around us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's such a beauty in that. And it's in our being faithful in that, that he'll eventually release us to do something else.
And that's so true. And it's something I've struggled with just in the past, wanting a bigger, like you said, a bigger platform, or to speak to a bigger audience, or to tell people. And the true motivation, it really is that way I can help more women, that way I can help. But this year, just the few women that we have, their growth has been incredible. And they're all of a sudden, their faithfulness to church and their verse memorization and their calm helping one another through problems and seeing that growth. And I, you know, and this type of conversation kind of brings me back to, that's where, like you said, we're just, it's the daily serving, what conversation needs to be had today, whether it's with, you know, whether if it's with our women, or whether if it's somebody from the church that I, you know, that I just need to sit, you know, sit in grief with, or sit in encouragement with. And I think you're right. So many of us want the bigger crown, if you will. And that's not, you know, that's not what we're supposed to be about. And so I'm so glad that you brought that up, because you are you're in a ministry, and it's interesting, because the way you guys have designed the ministry, you're limited in numbers. You can't, it's not like you can I love what happens every time I go whether it's Zoe on Monday, Wednesday, or whether it's Holt's House on Tuesday, Thursday, and you're going to explain a little bit of that in a minute, whether we go, it's always the same people, and it's always the same number, and it never gets bigger. And that's by design, right? And so tell us a little bit about your ministry, and tell us how it's structured. And so let us know how we can get involved.
Yeah. So the uniqueness of our conversation is that in the design, so Holt's House of Hope, Holt's House is actually in memory of Holt Rowland. And Holt was a kid, 16 years old. Holt came to Boca Chica on a mission trip with FCA and came to play baseball. And it actually rained a whole lot. He didn't get to play a lot of baseball. He returned to Georgia. And actually, one day, you know, his mom made the comment to him after the trip, Holt, I'm sorry, it rained so much. You know, and you didn't get to play much baseball. And, you know, for a 16-year-old kid, his response, you know, his reply was, you know, Mom, don't be sorry. The rain gave us an opportunity to play with the kids. And so we have a different definition at Holt's House, that rain is an opportunity to play with kids. And so a lot of times, experiencing God is ultimately about our perspective. You know, do we see rain as an opportunity to have a different perspective, or do we see it as, great, there's going to be puddles, we're going to have to clean it? Or do we see it as, all right, everybody's going to be under the pavilion, and Allie's going to have the idea. We're going to play paquetas. Okay. So it's all about perspective. And mm-hmm. so like you shared, so Holthaus is in memory of Holt. And the connection there is that I, growing up, had a babysitter by the name of Bethany. I knew her as Bethany Barsness. She married and is now Bethany Strickland. And she moved to Georgia once she got married, and she shared a property line with Holt's parents, best friends. And so through that, that dream of me wanting a place called Zoe, me being in the Capitol several years ago doing university ministry, the Lord just began to bring that dream back to the forefront of my mind and began to speak to me about maybe it was a season when I would transition away from university ministry. And Zoe was going to become a thing. And she sent a direct message on Facebook and said, "Hey, I've got some friends coming to the island." And, you know, Allie, being here, normally when that happens, it's like they're 6 hours away by a car ride, and it's not right. possible to meet them in a day. However, yeah. that time, you know, it was a 30-minute car ride. And so I came over with my then very best friend, who now is my husband, Fernando, so graciously drove me over. And we met Holt's parents. At the time, we met Mr. Dave. And, you know, God has a way of us experiencing him through even conversation. And Mr. Mm-hmm. Dave said to me in a conversation, you know, "Joey, have you ever thought about doing something with girls?" Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I could have obeyed God as I mm-hmm. shared the vision and manipulated the situation and done my own thing. But it was very obvious that the Lord was inviting me in to be a part of what he was already doing. Yeah. And so Holthaus, the building was already there, and they already had the boys ministry going. And so we got to come alongside of them and just bring the Zoe part of that ministry. So the girls meet on Monday, Wednesdays, the boys meet on Tuesday, Thursdays. And we have an after school program. Our heart is not to be mom or dad. We don't want to take that away from the family unit, and the kids come to us after school. So our heart is to make disciples. And like you said, we have the same kids. Because again, our desire is not to have testimonies. And so it takes time. We have to sit in Saturday sometimes for a very long time. Mm. Our desire is that we have transformation, spiritual transformation. Yeah. And that requires that the Holy Spirit renew the mind so that there can be a renewal of the heart. And oftentimes that means that we allow them to sit in a place that feels safe so that we can work. Unfortunately, a lot of times where there's been trauma. And yeah. so we do that by allowing them to pull up a seat to the table, because many of you know, and if you don't, the story of Mephibosheth, you know, he had a limp. But when you sit at the table, nobody knows that. So whatever they bring to the table, it's hidden by the fact that when we sit at the table, we're all the same. We can laugh. We find strength there. We share stories there. We eat meals there. We play Uno. Unfortunately, we have a lot of cheaters at the table when we play Uno.
Don't call
me out.
I'm
not very good at but so, and in that, our heart, our work is different from yours, Allie. And I know that you know this, but maybe our listeners don't. Our heart is prevention. We desire to be proactive and preventative. We want to reach boys and girls before they have secrets, before those secrets of sexual abuse or trauma become the feeder that puts them on the sidewalks, on the corners, and at the stoplights, before the work of prostitution or labor trafficking is a reality in their life.
Yeah. So just tell us about a little bit about the day, you know, what we do. Cause I know I love going. And you know, people are like, "Don't you have enough to do over in San Pedro?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but you got to go over there. It's so much fun." So it is an after school program. So the kids come anywhere, they can show up anywhere between 2 and 6, right? And what kind of things do they get to do?
Yes. Yeah, so the kids can show up anywhere between 2 and 6, and that's dependent upon which school they attend. You know, some schools let out at 12:30 and you're like, "Dude, I'm definitely trying to go to that school." I mean, some of the schools get out at 4:30. And if I'm honest, I'm like, I'm not trying to be that kid. Who wants to go to school until 4:30? And then some of our kids are listening and they're like, Miss Joey said she doesn't want to go to my school either, Mom. That probably wasn't very wise on my part. Yeah, so the kids show up. You know, we have shower facilities in the event that there's not water access in the home. The kids can shower. We have a washing machine. And my mom is so very proud to hear this. I actually, you know, I know how to use the washing machine and can even wash some of the school uniforms for our kids. We can hang it to dry, you know, and so then that way when they get to their home, mom, grandma, aunt, uncle, dad, you know, that's just one less thing that, you know, that they don't have to do. We have a nutrition team that prepares a meal for them. And let's be honest, you know, when we're hungry, we don't really, you know, care what knowledge or advice you have to share for us, because a hungry belly, the growl of that is so much larger than any words you're saying. So they receive a meal. And then, you know, it's just a safe space for them so they can run, scream, be loud, play Uno, play dominoes. We have music class. Sometimes we have English. Those are on a rotation. We've had guitar class. We've had some girls learn how to crochet. We've had a boys class. They learn how to tie a tie. They learn basic CPR and first aid. So, you know, just a different rotation. And, you know, our heart in that is we want to just give them skills that basically provide options for them to show them, you know, that you do have a future and it is full of options. But ultimately, we do believe with our whole heart that the very best thing that we provide and that we lay out for them is the Word of God, and that we want them to experience God for themselves, and that we want them to make a personal decision of faith that Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of their life, and that they would then get involved and, you know, be a part of a local body of Christ, and that they would, far beyond the walls of Holt's House, live for him and become a man or woman of God, and that they would live that out all the days of their life in their own homes, and that they would break the cycle of the culture. And, you know, so obviously, you know, all the play and the scooting up of the chair to the table, you know, is just basically, we say it's the buns and the mayonnaise and the ketchup and the cheese of the meat of the discipleship, which is the hamburger, the Word of God. So all of that stuff, the craziness and the loudness, gives us the ability to give them what we know ultimately spiritually nourishes them long after their time at Holt's House is, and Zoe is over.
We love going over there so much. So tell people how they can serve, how they can get involved, whether it's a sponsorship, or even every once in a while we go over there and I personally have broken a chair before, and I think it was probably because I was cheating at Uno. And you know, so just, are there different things and ways that they can get involved in Holt's House and Zoe?
Sure, Allie. So, you know, first of all, you know, we had a team here just last week, and several of the men were construction guys, and one of them was a military, you know, retired military guy, and he was sharing about how, you know, I used to go before all the, like, tanks and survey the land and make sure it was safe. And I say this very sincerely, you know, some of you will never have the opportunity physically to place your feet on the ground of this island, but you can very much do the work that he did with your prayers. And you know, oftentimes I think people think I'm not obeying because I can't go, but you can pray. And I believe wholeheartedly that those of you who may never, because of whatever reason, if you will do what he did, if you will prayerfully commit, if you will choose a day, the sixth, every sixth of the month, if you will fast a meal and you will pray for Holt's House, for Zoe, for our boys, for our girls, for myself, for our staff, you prepare the soul, you prepare the hearts and the minds of our children, so that when we do share the Word of God, the soul is ready. It's not hard. And so the seed doesn't fall on ground that's not ready. And that work is imperative. That work is so important. Just like his work, nobody sees that, but it's the most important work because it readies the ground and it allows the experiencing of God to happen. And so that's a way for you to obey and for you to be involved. Another way is through the collection of, whether that's feminine hygiene products, whether that's toiletries. So collect that with a group. Maybe it's your small group. Maybe it's a D-Now group. Maybe it's a church group. Coloring pencils, some of those things that you guys collect there at Mercy. And, we have different things that we do there. And then, send those with a group that's coming, or reach out to us and ask us if we have a group coming. That's such a huge blessing. And then obviously financially, you can get involved. So the way to do that is through our website. And that's holtshouseofhope.com. And, there's drop down ways so you can sponsor a child, a girl or a boy, and that's $29.99 a month. And that enables us to basically feed the meals to that child. That enables us to have a birthday outing for that child, to provide school supplies, school uniform, Christmas, and then also medical. Should the child need medical attention. And then, once the child is 18, should they choose to stay in our program, we allow that money to add up. And then, if they want to attend public university or trade school, we scholarship them to be able to do that. And then, so those are just a couple of ways for you to be able to get involved. And then obviously, if you are on a team and you're visiting Allie, annoy her and be like, we want to leave San Pedro for the day and go over to Boca Chica and see another part of the world and come visit us. So
we would not mind. We don't mind taking people over there at all. So we're going to kind of wrap this up a bit. So if you could, we're going to kind of switch gears, and I'm just going to ask you some kind of rapid fire questions. This is how we always end a podcast. Sure. And so it's just going to be, and it's like really quick. But before we do that, I just want to ask, is there a way that you have seen just in the last month, or just this past year, is there a way that you have just really seen God, just kind of, step in strong, at Zoe or at Holt's House, with one of, whether it's with your staff or whether it's with, one of your kids?
Yes. Just last week, the team that came just understood that, could they come and do their own thing? Yes. But they understood the importance of partnering with a missionary who is here before they come, is going to be here after they leave. They came, they were like, how can we help the helpers who are already here? And because they did that, one of our girls who basically was sharing one room and had been for a long time, unfortunately, with mom, who does not have the most honest life, and makes a wage that unfortunately is in the street, she now has a room to call her own. That construction team built a bedroom for she and her siblings, and they now have a bed that is all their own with a mattress that has a pillow top mattress. And so not only do we get to, now that they're gone, she doesn't just have a room that's safe with a door that she can lock and a mattress that's extra comfortable, but we can continue. We were able to sit with her on Saturday in a place, in a space that's safe and know stories, and help her, and help her learn to read, help her write her name, continue to encourage her to go to school, know her story, know situation at home. But now that she has that room to call her own, we still can maintain that relationship and continue to sit with her on Saturday until she's ready for the tomb to become a cocoon. And, so the team returned home. We can still give hamburgers, but we continue to get to share the word of God, make disciples, and the team has gone back. And so she gets to continue to experience God, not just because she has a new mattress, but because we continue to get to read the Word of God with her. And to me, that's the point of experiencing God. They chose to be a part of what God was already doing. And it's not just because we were doing it. It's because they chose to not, I want to do the thing that nobody's done before. They humbled themselves and said, I want to obey God. And I want to do it in a way that submits to and honors God being a God of order. And to me, that's beautiful.
I love it. I am so thankful. I'm so proud of that and so thankful for that. And so we're just going to kind of flip the switch a little bit, and I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, and then we're going to sign off. So Joey, if you have a favorite food, do you go back to the States and eat your favorite food, or is it here? And what's your favorite food, your favorite meal?
So sandwiches and Chick-fil-A.
There you go. They're sandwiches, like, and Chick-fil-A.
What a bummer.
I know. Typical, typical. Yeah. It's such a typical missionary answer. I hate to tell you.
Or give me jugo de limón. I'm all about I'm all about lemonade here in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, my husband is too. All right. So you're sitting down with your favorite meal. What movie? What is your favorite movie that you would want to watch? Like,
Allie, I'm terrible at movies, but I'm gonna want to watch Law and Order SVU.
Mm-hmm. Same here. Yeah. That's hilarious. I know. Uh-huh. I love it. Yeah. Love it. Love it. All right. Is there a book that you're currently reading right now, or that a book that you have just like has rocked your world in the past?
Yes. And you're going to ask me the title, and I'm going to grab it really fast. And it's called How to Know a Person. And so it's just about how, it's about us being able to, like, connect with people better and, like, hold their stories. And so, you know, basically, like, how do we understand people better and help them experience God better, really?
How to know a person. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm writing that title down. Awesome. All right. So what is a moment in your life right now that's just bringing you joy, or a snapshot of your life?
I love this question. So last night, obviously I'm a mom. We are 3 years into being a mom. And I mean, I am 3 years into being a mom. I'm 100% sure that my husband is a male and he is a dad. we're not confused about that. Let me be really clear. And so, however, last night, for the very first time, so we had three other little boys, Pux's friends, in our apartment, and it was like, I just remember, like, pretend playing as a mom and, like, dreaming about that day. And so it was super fun. Our apartment was a disaster. There were toys everywhere. There was dirt because they had monster trucks that had been outside, but it started raining. They were playing them in our floor. And so, but I experienced God in that moment because it was just like, I felt like it wasn't a God wink, but it was like a God, like, I saw you, I heard you, look, I did this. And so, you know, I think that I'm like a good mom, but it's like, I've got your boy.
Yeah.
And I know what he needs.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was good.
Well, last question. What is just something that just keeps you rooted deep? The name of our podcast is Rooted Deep, and it's based on Psalm 1. And it's one of our favorite psalms in the whole book. But what is something that just keeps you rooted deep through this life?
You know, you're going to be like, yeah, of course you would say that. That's so cheesy. But it's the tending of the coals. You know, in ministry, I don't always have the testimony. Like, I don't always have the good story. It doesn't always feel good. So it's the moment when I'm alone, and sometimes I don't have, honestly, the desire to open, you know, the Word of God, but it's in the moment of solitude when I sit with the Lord. And sometimes, you know, it's not quiet time. Sometimes I wail and it's weeping, but it's that time with Him. So, you know, if I could say anything, it's just be faithful to tend the coals and know that, you know, eventually Holy Spirit will breathe and the fire, you know, will burn again. But everybody likes the fire because it draws attention and people can see it from afar and they come running, but there won't always be a fire. Yeah. However, there's always there's always coals to tend. And so if we're faithful, I feel like, to tend the coals, we can always experience God. And it's in that experiencing of Him that allows us, even if it's just tears, and the fact that we know He is near, then I can get up again tomorrow, even if there's just more tears, and experience His nearness again. And that's what keeps me rooted, and those roots keep me grounded, and they keep me here, wherever here is.
I love that. Thank you so much for just sharing, a lot, just in this little bit of time, just sharing a lot with all of us, and especially for the time that you just shared your heart about your ministry as well as your vulnerability. And I appreciate that so much, Joey. I wanted to end on something that she had actually, I was planning to say this earlier, but Joey really said it better, but I'm just going to read. So I'm going to read the paragraph that I was looking at. By experiencing God and Henry Blackaby, two factors are important if you are going to recognize God's activity around you. Number one, you must be living in an intimate love relationship with God. That's that tending the coals. That's meeting up and just doing that work every day. And God must open your spiritual eyes so you can see what He's doing. And so those two things, I feel like that's what we've talked about today. And I'm so thankful for your faithfulness. And I'm very thankful for our community here that we can just check in, right? Even if I'm not willing to drive to Boca Chica, or if you don't want to come all the way over to San Pedro, it's really only a 40-minute drive. It's not that bad. But our ministries are keep us crazy sometimes. But it's good that we have a community here that can help us and check in and make sure that we are staying rooted deep. So Joey, thank you so much for that. And for everybody listening, just stay in your book, stay in the Word, and make sure that you are enjoying that time of tending the coals as Joey shared with us today. So that way you can also stay rooted deep.
Thank you for listening to Rooted Deep. To learn more about Dare for More Ministries, go to dareformore.org and look up Mercy Workshop at mercyjewelry.org.